Welcome to the second week of our series called Great Expectations. In this series, we're working on developing a new mindset, moving away from the ordinary, run-of-the-mill, just-another-day kind of mentality to a new attitude of expectation, an approach to life that recognizes the great potential in each new day, an outlook that sees the amazing opportunities God offers us in every moment. It's easy to lower our expectations, just kind of go through the normal rhythm of life, trudge through our day, you know, work, family obligations, chores at home, missing the incredible blessings God is ready to send our way. And so in this series, we're inviting you to see with new eyes, to expand your vision and believe again in the God who can do exceedingly more than we ask or imagine. We want you to believe for more and expect more from God, because when you live with great expectations, you make room for God to do something greater in your life. And as we said last week, God is calling you higher. He's going to go beyond what you've seen in the past, but it's going to take greater commitment, greater devotion, greater generosity, risk, and sacrifice. But every time you say yes to God, it is the best investment of your life. And you can expect a far greater return in the end. Today, I want to talk with you about another great expectation. I want to talk with you today about expect victory. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, "If you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross every day." A cross is a hardship or a challenge in our lives. It could be a serious medical condition, a broken relationship, trouble at home, at work, in your finances. Jesus was saying, don't run from that problem. Don't hide from the setback, the difficulty, what's getting you down. Instead, run to it. Embrace the issue. Head into the storm. Dig deep in a time of adversity and face that challenge head on. Jesus was revealing a new attitude about suffering. You know, most people just try to avoid trouble, you know, flee from disaster, run away or get out of the storm or pretend that it doesn't exist. But Jesus knew something a lot of people don't know. God can change your greatest obstacle into your greatest opportunity. He can turn your mourning into dancing, your sadness into joy, the dark of night into the light of day, a cross into a crown, your worst setback into a great setup for success. So when you're facing a crisis in your life, don't shrink back out of fear, worry, anxiety, or shame. Instead, change your thinking. Don't just live through the sickness or endure the suffering or put up with the defeat. No, turn it around. Expect healing, expect restoration, expect victory. Numbers chapter 21, the Israelites were going through the desert on their way to the promised land. Against all odds, God had rescued them from slavery. But very quickly, they grew tired of the journey. There was hardly any food or water and miles of sand. So they started complaining and grumbling against God, turned against Moses, demanded to go back to Egypt. Life was just too hard out there. The sun was too hot. The conditions too harsh. Isn't this us sometimes when we have problems in our life? It's very easy to complain and get bitter, even blame God. God, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. I've been good. Why me? What did I do wrong? This isn't fair. It's very easy to sound like the Israelites in those times. But look at what happened in the story today. The first reading says, poisonous snakes came into the camp of the Israelites, bit many people, and they died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord take the serpents from us. It's kind of funny how quickly they changed their tune, isn't it? Well, what's also interesting is what God told Moses to do about it. He said to make a snake out of bronze and put it up on a high pole, and whoever looks at that snake would be healed, cured of their snake bites. It sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? I mean, the snakes were the problem. They were the source of the suffering. Why would God ask Moses to do that? Just to rub the Israelites' face in the mess they had made, prolong the misery? Didn't make sense. But God wanted to show them that he could take the very thing that was the problem and turn it into the solution. He could take the very thing that was hurting them and make it into a sign of their healing. What looked like death would become life. What looked like defeat would become their victory. I wonder if some of you are, if snakes are coming against some of you today. Maybe you're facing a difficult situation. It seems poisonous, dangerous, like there's no good solution. Maybe you've been bitten by your own mistakes. You know, an addiction that you just can't seem to shake, bad habits you wish you could break, decisions you made in the past you wish you could change. Or maybe you've been bitten by loss and loneliness. The people who walked out on you, or the death of a loved one. Or maybe you've been bitten by financial struggles, a job loss, difficulties at work, a dead-end career. Or maybe you've been bitten by divorce or struggles in your marriage, you know, family problems, or the children you once held in your arms now refuse to have anything to do with you. Or maybe you've just been bitten by doubt, fear, and insecurity. Whatever it is, it probably feels like a heavy cross and you just want to run from it. But like with the Israelites, God has the remedy. He has the cure, the therapy to help you that you need to get back up on your feet and move forward in life. God has what you need to fix the problem that's been holding you back. But you also have to do something. You have to have the courage to stare down the enemy, to look in the eyes of that serpent trying to take you down, and believe that God has the power to heal you, to restore you, and give you the victory. A friend of mine back in Georgia walked out on her back deck a few years ago. It was a beautiful spring day, clear skies, was feeling good, and she stepped off the deck onto the grass and felt so good in her feet. What she didn't see was the poisonous snake, the venomous copperhead, one of the most deadly reptiles in that region, sunning himself on her lawn. But that snake definitely noticed her. In an instant, he coiled, attacked, and bit her leg. She was rushed to the hospital and got the anti-venom. But she was out of commission for 6 long weeks. There was paralysis in her leg. It took her 3 months to walk without a cane. She said it was the worst pain she had ever experienced in her life. Worse than natural childbirth, which I can't imagine. Worse than a double mastectomy she had. Worst pain ever. 5 million people every year around the world are bitten by poisonous snakes. Some of them die because they're in a poor or remote area. Can't get the anti-venom. Scientists, researchers are working all the time to try to come up with new treatments for snake bites, make them more effective and save more lives. Some years ago, they started collecting the venom from poisonous snakes. Anybody want that job in life? Not me, thank you very much. But anyway, they started collecting the venom from poisonous snakes, injecting it into horses. And the blood of the horse would create these antibodies that they could then extract from the blood and turn into a serum that would save the life of people who had been bitten by that kind of snake. The problem was the blood of horses wasn't working as well as they had hoped. It was causing some allergic reactions even. Too many people were dying, so they started testing the same procedure on different kinds of animals. Guess which animal was the most effective? Guess which blood of which animal's blood was the most effective, the most powerful in fighting the snake's venom? It was the blood of a lamb. The blood of a lamb. The blood of a lamb had the greatest potential to heal, to restore, and to save many, many lives. To those of us sitting here today, that's probably no surprise. In the scripture, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he pointed and said, "There goes," behold, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God whose blood has the power to neutralize every poison, remove every toxin, counteract every venomous attack of the enemy, and bring you healing and victory. In today's gospel, Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus and said something amazing. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Back in the wilderness, when God told Moses to make that snake out of bronze and put it up on a pole, it represented the sins of the people. And somehow, by looking at that symbol of evil, the evil they themselves had created, they were cured of their snake bites. Jesus represents good, of course, and not evil. But Scripture says God made Jesus to be sin, who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus carried our troubles, our wrongs, our failures, our shortcomings, our sins. He carried those sins. And just like that bronze serpent in the Old Testament, the cross has become the source of our hope. It is the powerful blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, lifted up on the cross, exalted on the cross, that has the power to cure every infirmity, to reverse every defeat, to restore every loss, free us from every affliction, and turn every failure, every mistake we've ever made into righteousness before the eyes of God. Jesus did not come to condemn us or blame us. He came because God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Through the power of the cross, you can expect victory. Friends of mine had to take up their own cross many years ago. Their daughter was born prematurely with a condition called hypotonia. It meant she had severe muscle weakness. She couldn't hold her head up, sit, walk, talk like at the normal times. And they took her to all kinds of doctors and were told that she would never walk, never move, or do the things that other children could do. Naturally, they were devastated and so worried. But my friends are people of faith. They knew this was a cross that they would have to carry. But they also knew that Jesus conquered the cross and that the blood of the Lamb has enormous healing power. So they stayed in faith, kept praying constantly, got all their friends and family to pray. Their daughter's first birthday came and went. There was no sign of improvement. Things were still bad. But they kept believing, kept bringing her to physical therapy, hoped for the best. Long time came and went. Long time passed and still no signs of improvement. But eventually, there was a little movement. And then she started crawling a little, started walking a little, starting talking a little. It seemed like a miracle, but the progress was very, very slow, painstakingly slow, years and years. It wasn't until middle school that the miracle became clear, when their daughter started running track, played basketball on the team, won all kinds of awards and medals, was nominated as Student Athlete of the Year, and written up in the school magazine. That's when it became obvious. She went on to high school, college, graduated at the top of her class. Today, she's in her third year at the University of San Francisco, working towards a PhD in clinical psychology. That is a cross that became a crown, a tragedy that turned into a triumph, a setback that slowly grew into success. Today, 2 years ago, her father was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. When it rains, it pours. It was another cross they would have to bear. But this family did what they always do. They trusted God even when things didn't look good. They prayed, went on a pilgrimage to Lourdes, and stayed in faith. Today, he's not completely out of the woods, but all the tumors are gone. The scans are all clear. The treatments are working. And they expect a full and complete recovery, victory in the name of Jesus. When you're facing a cross, the enemy will try to tempt you into running away, hiding from the problem, abandoning ship, taking the easy way out, but that is not the solution. There is only one cure, one path to healing. It is the way of the cross. When Jesus took on our sins and hung on that cross for us, it looked like the end, like the enemy had won. But that is not what happened. Instead, the earth shook with the power of God. Rocks were split, tombs burst open, and death surrendered in defeat. Do not fear the cross. The blood of the Lamb that shed his blood on that cross is greater than any poison, greater than any force coming against you, greater than any weapon trying to take you down. It is the source of your healing, the instrument of your salvation, the reason you will live again. It is the gift that sets you free, the unstoppable power that will give you the hope to never give up, never give in, but in every difficulty, every problem, every troubling circumstance, to look to the cross and expect victory. Amen. Amen.